Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone and welcome to La Liga Lowdown's podcast. We have a new feature for this season. It is a match day preview pod out every midweek ahead of the weekend's fixtures. I'm Matt Clark, your host, and I'm joined, freshly renewed his bus pass, the Chavineta, by Rory Barlow. How are you, Rory?
Delighted to be back, Matt. It's good to be back on the Zooms with you. It's been too long. It felt like a significant part of my life for the last 9 months or so before the season ended. So it's nice to have that comfort blanket back.
Oh, well, very, very pleased to be your co-host here today. We only have 2 days until La Liga starts. It's fantastic, isn't it? How excited are you about the season ahead?
I have to say, it's probably the most exciting season in 3 or 4 for me. I think, regardless of all the rubbish that is going on at Barcelona, on the pitch, it is shaping up to be one of the most exciting. And the fact that João Félix is looking pretty tasty in pre-season and sort of towards the end of last season means that the title race could be really fun this year. And given last year, there was lots of entertaining storylines in La Liga, but the title race was not particularly one of them, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. We're all hoping it is a bit closer at the top this year. Well, one of those teams that was in the mix for a while was Sevilla, and they are the team that kicks off the campaign. They are in Pamplona on Friday night playing Osasuna. Obviously, a lot's been spoken about their departures this summer. Diego Carlos, Jules Koundé leaving. Massive hole at centre-back to fill. They have made a few signings. Marcao, Alex Telles, and just a couple of days ago, Isco confirmed and official. They've all been registered, which we will also come on to later, I'm sure. But they have all been registered, so they could all make their debuts on Friday night. Rory, how do you see this game going?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It's not a particularly fun start for Sevilla and Lopetegui, I have to say. I think Osasuna's home record last season wasn't as good as we kind of generally expect from them, but I assume that Hugo Barrasate's main task this season is essentially to address that and make sure that they are strong at home, because their away form was very good. The season's come a bit too fast for Sevilla in my view. I mean, Isco's come in, but he's only coming in sort of what started this week, end of last weekend. He's not going to be at full fitness at all. Marcao came in and he's their only centre-back signing right now. He was struggling with an injury in pre-season too. And so you've got sort of, I think their defence is going to be down to the bare bones even in their opening fixture. It'll be Karim Rekic, I think, will start, potentially with Marcao, potentially with Nemanja Gudel, who will fill in at centre-half. And if I'm Chimi Avila or Ante Budimir, and I don't really like the phrase licking my lips, but I'm licking my lips at this because Sevilla's sort of bedrock of defence is not necessarily going to be there, particularly early on in the season. So I think it's a tough start for Sevilla, I have to say. I don't know what your thoughts are, Matt.
Yeah, it's one of those banana skin games. I mean, they came unstuck there in the fixture last season. It was 0-0 in February, and that was pretty much the weekend that the title race kind of died, really, because they were just about on the coattails. But once they dropped points in Pamplona at El Sadar, that really was it, because I think Real Madrid grounded out a 1-0 win over Granada. That was the period without Benzema, wasn't it? Asensio got that goal. And from then on, they just sort of really coasted, really. So yeah, I think, again, we're both big fans of Diego Barrasate, aren't we? And I think, again, the squad looks pretty good for Osasuna. They brought in Moy Gomez as well. I think that's a really, really interesting signing for them. And if they can keep John Moncayola, which is a bit of an if, because there's talk that Athletic could go for the buyout clause. But if they can keep him, I think they've got a lot of creativity to go with their forward power. And it's just keeping everyone fit during this kind of congested season. But yeah, I think encouraging signs. You know, Friday night under the lights. It's a very tough assignment for Sevilla, for sure.
Just before we move on, I will remind you that we were watching that Sevilla-Osasuna game in a bar in Barcelona, and to much cursing, Ivan Rakitic missed the last-minute penalty to drop those points at El Sadar. So Sevilla will have a bit of a bit between their teeth. They've got a score to settle there.
Yes, yeah. They'll definitely want to right the wrongs of that last performance. On to Saturday then. Intriguing clash first up. It's Celta against Espanyol. Of course, last season's highest Spanish scorers were Raúl Tomás and Iago Aspas, of course. So they probably won't be seeing each other here today because RDT doesn't seem to be in the plans, does he? And of course, it's Diego Martinez's first game in charge of Espanyol. He's back in La Liga, and it all begins in his birthplace, Vigo, which is a nice, interesting quirk.
Yeah, it's one of the stranger storylines of the summer, I have to say. I think many Espanyol fans were dreaming that they might be able to keep hold of Raúl de Tomás, sort of fighting off interest from bigger clubs, but not many people expected Diego Martinez to be the one that's kicking him to the curb. And their relationship over the summer has not been good. Apparently, Martinez did not take well to Raúl de Tomás in their sort of initial meetings, and since he's been left out of friendlies. It's a strange situation. It's hard to see it not slightly getting in the way of their preparation, I have to say. I mean, it's revolution at Espanyol, but they were also beaten heavily in pre-season by Brighton, I think it was. And yeah, not all is well in that camp. And then on the flip side, you've got Celta, who are also undergoing their own revolution, in inverted commas, and that's been pretty bloody as well. There's been a lot of exits and there's been a lot of arrivals, and whether those arrivals can really sort of gel together early doors, I have my doubts. And I think this could be a bit of an entertaining game, because I think there'll be a lot of new faces in both sides, to be honest.
Yeah, it'll be a case of, oh yeah, they've signed him as well. Oh yeah, that guy. And it's always good to see Hossolu back in La Liga, of course, down with Alaves last year, but picked up by Espanyol. So looking forward to him against potentially Oscar Mingueza at the back for Celta. That could be an intriguing battle. Another game on Saturday is Real Valladolid against Villarreal, the first of the newly promoted sides in action. This is a game Villarreal probably have to win, don't they, first off?
Yeah, Unai Emery, show me what you've got. This is his season to challenge for the top four, and if the pressure will already be on him if they falter here. I mean, as much as I like Valladolid this season, I think they'll give it a good go. I like Pacheta particularly, I think. He's deserved this shot at La Liga, and he was very close to keeping Huesca up last time. He was the one that brought Elche up before they consequently sacked him and put their own man in charge. So I think Valladolid will give it a good go this season, but Sean Weissman, who was their top goal scorer last season and is the goals man for them, he's been nursing a hamstring injury lately, and that might be a bit of a problem, I think, against Villarreal, particularly on the opening day when Villarreal, they have a hell of a lot of attacking firepower. They maybe need a bit more in the supply chain, but Gerard Moreno, Danjuma, those two in particular, I think, could have some fun in this game.
Yeah, I think it's one of the... I mean, the only meeting previously between Pacheta and Emery was Huesca Villarreal a couple of years ago, as you mentioned. And that was 0-0. So that's typical Emery in a way. You can almost see this ending up 0-0 despite all the attacking talent on the pitch. One other nice little thing to note on this one. Of course, in the summer, Villarreal, they've got Pepe Reina in goal, but that's because Sergio Asenjo departed. He's gone back to Real Valladolid, his old club, and his potential debut could be against Villarreal themselves. So that's one to watch out for as well. Nice little kind of full circle type of story. Right then, Saturday night, this is what you're all here for, listeners, isn't it? Barca against Rayo, Levers versus Lightning. Rory, obviously we had the preview pod where we discussed at length about the Palancas, and Sam gave a very good explanation of what Barca are doing and why everyone's angry about it. As a fan, I must say, listener, he's sporting a very attractive 90s Barca kit as we record. Rory, what do you make of the summer of sagas at Barca?
Wow, the first thing to say is that I am absolutely sick to death of the Palancas, of talking about it, of all the off-the-pitch things that are going on. And I can't wait for the season to start just so that that kind of moves into the background. I understand the outrage, so to speak, but I think it's important to keep in mind that a lot of their problem with registering players is because the La Liga rules are stricter than in other leagues, and that plays a big part in the storyline. I think it's not been bigged up as much as it should have been in perhaps the UK media, the English-speaking media, certainly. Do I understand why people are angry at Juan Laporta? Yes. I think there's a risky element to what he's doing, and I think a lot of people are perhaps frustrated with the fact that Barcelona seem to be having their cake and eating it. They seem to have got themselves in a financial situation which is untenable, and still are signing massive players. And I understand that sort of train of thought, and yeah, there is an element to the argument that they shouldn't be allowed to do that. But on the pitch, I have to say, it does look pretty exciting. And I think Juan Laporta's virtuous circle, as Sam mentioned, it seems to be working early doors, because the Juan Gamper was full of fans this past Sunday.
Yeah, 80,000 in attendance at Camp Nou. I suppose the other question then is, will they have these players registered in time? What kind of team will Xavi be able to line up in this game on Saturday?
Well, Juan Laporta said in Robert Lewandowski's presentation, because he was asked, will Lewandowski be in the lineup for the first game? And he said, well, nobody should worry about Lewandowski, because if there's one player that's going to be registered, it's him. And so I do think they probably, I'm imagining, they have the bandwidth to register at least one or two of the new signings, and Lewandowski will be on that list. But altogether, I think even without any of the new signings, Barcelona have plenty of attacking power to be able to play this Rayo side and beat them fairly comfortably, to be honest. I mean, you look at the last game, and Rayo did beat Barcelona, but it was a very different Barcelona. It was a Barcelona that was without Pedri. They were exhausted. I think they felt beaten up by the season that they'd just had. They didn't really have any ambitions left for the season, and so Rayo came in and were solid. They were organised. They were very good on that night, but I think they'll have to do more this time. And I think Barcelona are in a very different place to when these two sides last met.
Yes, of course, that was part of the historic double that Rayo did last season, the first of which bringing about the demise of Ronald Koeman. Doesn't that seem a long time ago too? So yeah, there's quite a bit of pessimism about Rayo. Again, in our preview pod, a couple of the comments there were that there's a fear that, you know, they only won twice away from home all season. They didn't pick up many points at all in the second half of the season. If they didn't have such a good first half last time out, they probably would have been dragged into it. Do you see trouble for Rayo this season?
Yes and no. I think Rayo, the run that they went on last season, it's unlikely to be matched. Let's not be about the bush. But they do have, I think if you look at the squads and what we saw from Alvaro Garcia, what we saw from Isi Parathon, Fran Garcia, Alejandro Catena, Santi Comesaña, there are players there that I think if you put them in other sides in the bottom half of the table, a lot of them would start. I think Andoni Iraola is a plus for them. I think he gives them an advantage over a lot of other teams. And what will be crucial for them is whether they can find the goals, because let's not forget that their drop-off in the second half of the season more or less occurred sort of about a month after Falcao stopped scoring, when they were relying on Sergi Guardiola for goals. And if Falcao can stay fit, if they can find enough goals from elsewhere in the team, then yeah, I think they do have a chance of staying up. I think it'll be tight, because it's the reality for them. That's where their resources place them. But I think they've got a decent enough chance of staying up, but nobody should expect them to be 12th, 13th this season.
Mm. Well, speaking of predictions, us at the La Liga Lowdown Squad have all sent in our predictions 1 to 20, and that's been averaged out to generate a kind of LLL squad table 1 to 20. So check that out on our Twitter feed at La Liga Lowdown to see who we think is going to win the league, who we think is going to come top four, who we think is going down. And have a debate with us on Twitter. I'm sure we'll all be happy to engage. But and then at the end of the season, we'll see how right or wrong we were. So look out for that, listener. That will do us for part one. In part two, we will look ahead to Sunday's games as well as Monday's games, because there are three on each day. It's a bumper weekend to start the season. So don't go away.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back, everyone, to this La Liga Lowdown Match Day 1 preview podcast. I'm here with Rory Barlow, and we are looking ahead to the first weekend of the season, the much anticipated weekend it is indeed. On to Sunday then, and the first game of Sunday is Cadiz against Real Sociedad. Again, you were very impressed with Sergio's, the way that he managed to keep them up last season. You didn't expect too much, but you had to kind of eat your words and make apologies to him. Will he have been able to evolve Cadiz over the summer, or will it be more of the same? And I guess similarly, La Real, a lot of change there in forward areas. How will Imanol kind of shape his side offensively to make sure they score enough goals?
Yeah, I think for Sergio, a lot of people seem to be a lot lower on Cadiz than I was, certainly in the La Liga Lowdown squad. I think if Sergio can just maintain the level of performance that they had in the second half of last season, they'll be absolutely fine for me. I think they gave pretty much everyone a good game. They've recruited Awar Mabil, who I think should give them a bit of pace out wide. If you can get a little bit more from that wide position, they're a counter-attacking team. I think that could really do them well. So it's not so much a question of evolution for me for Cadiz. It's more about maintaining what they had and ensuring that they can kind of keep that momentum going. La Real, it's an interesting one. I think they've almost gone Isak or bust, if that makes sense, because I think
they've
lost Sorloth and they've not recruited a replacement. They do have Carlos Fernandez, who will be coming back from injury. He should be fully fit.
He could have a big season, I think, though.
Interesting. If he does make a big contribution, because he was one of the more promising strikers in La Liga.
He was great at Granada that season.
Absolutely. Then if they do have sort of two firing number nines, then they're a different outfit. But without Oyarzabal, I have my doubts about how much they can improve their offensive output. But yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see exactly what he does. Whether Ali Chou plays a big role, he was the sort of big recruit, the star recruit with Bryce Mendes, or whether he is kind of the next man up, so to speak, if he's the next in line to make that big step.
Don't forget Take Kubo, it's his sixth Spanish club already. How's he going to go, do you think?
I'm not holding my breath for fireworks, but if there's a place, there's a system and a manager for him, Imanol Aguathil might be the best.
In terms of this game in particular then, Cadiz were pretty poor at home last season. Do you think they're going to improve their home form, or do you think La Real will win this fixture? I mean, La Real do seem to like it. They've won the last four meetings with Cadiz.
I think in terms of this fixture, Real Sociedad are a really difficult start for Cadiz, so we shouldn't read too much into what happens in this match. But if you look at towards the end of last season, Cadiz, they weren't necessarily a possession-based side, let's not be about the bush, but they did have a lot more protagonism on the ball, I think, than people would give them credit for, or than they would imagine. There was a shift from Alvaro Cervera to a slightly more ambitious approach, and I think that should benefit their home record.
On to a pretty tasty looking fixture, this one. Sunday afternoon evening, Valencia Girona at Mestalla. Gattuso makes his La Liga bow at home against another of the new sides. Girona finally up through the playoffs. Christian Stuani is back, he's Uruguayan, you know. I know that's a tick for you already, tick in the box. The last meeting, which was only in 2019, Geddish, Parejo and Ferran all scored for Los Che. And of course, now they've all gone. That in a nutshell is Valencia's situation, isn't it, really? But how will they cope without Geddish? They've had a lot more possession this season in pre-season, as Sam was talking about in the preview.
Gennaro Gattuso, I understand that he is a very good manager to get behind if you are a football fan. And if he comes in at your club, the way he talks, the way he leads, I think it's very attractive for a lot of people. If he's going to install a more possession-based style, look to dominate games, that's quite a shift from Bordalas, and I understand that a lot of people find it very easy to get on board with that. However, I don't know if Valencia have the players to do this. I mean, they should increase their offensive output if they're going for a more offensive style, but without Gonzalo Guedes, I'm not sure I trust Samu Castillejo to be the one to really lead the line and have a lot of presence up front. Maxi Gomez, Marcos Andre, they haven't shown themselves to be clinical strikers in recent weeks, and I think this is a tasty opening tie for Girona. I think if Valencia want to take the ball off them, that's all very well, but Girona are a side that likes the ball. They're a side that likes to attack themselves. And I think if you look at the sides that have come up in the playoffs in recent years, they've done pretty well, especially at the start of the season. Look at Rayo. They were ambitious. They went at teams, especially early doors. And I think Girona will do the same thing with Michel. Whether that will sustain them over the season, I don't know. But in this game, I think it could really benefit them. And they've got Christian Stuani. They've also got Tati Castellanos, who I think is a nice pickup as well from New York City. And so, yeah, I think there could be, there's the ingredients for an upset, shall we say. And it doesn't take much for Mestalla to change its mind about things if they're going wrong.
Yeah, we could see a few white hankies in match day one. That would be something, wouldn't it? Sunday night then, it's the defending champions. They start their title defence at Almeria, and the third and final of the promoted sides to come up. It's a tough start for the Segunda champions. It looks as if Umar Sadiq will be gone or going, so probably won't feature. That's a massive blow for them, isn't it? What are your thoughts on Almeria first, and then we'll chat Real Madrid.
Almeria, yeah, I think I've kind of liked their recruitment, but they do look like a very young side right now. I think the average age was just over 24. That must put them in one of the youngest brackets in the league, and they've recruited a lot of talented youngsters. I don't mind what they've done this summer, but on the sort of reverse of that, against Real Madrid, if you go a goal down, that youthfulness perhaps won't benefit them. They could perhaps do with a bit more experience. Umar Sadiq, massive blow, and whoever his replacement is will either not be up to full speed or will not be playing in this match either. So yeah, I think this tough assignment is a bit of an understatement, and Real Madrid's, even if they're coming off the back of a European Super Cup, I think they should have plenty to deal with Almeria this match.
Yeah, I mean, on the plus side for the newly promoted team, it's a bit of a free hit, isn't it? No one's expecting them to get anything off the champions. But equally, yeah, by that token, everyone's expecting them to get beaten potentially heavily, which wouldn't be the way to start the season, no matter who the opponent is. And that's potentially on the cards, because Real do love this fixture as well. In each of the last five encounters, Real have scored at least three goals in each of those, including that 8-1 win. On to Monday then, and we have three games on Monday, including an afternoon treat at San Mamés, Athletic Club against Mallorca. And Néstor Valverde is back in La Liga against fellow experienced campaigner Javier Aguirre. Believe it or not, the last opening day for Néstor Valverde was also at San Mamés. He was Barca coach. They went to San Mamés on the opening day and they lost 1-0 with that iconic Aduriz overhead kick. I'm sure you remember that one. That was the last time Valverde's been there for an opening day. He's back, but in the other dugout. Athletic, you've tipped them for fifth in the predictions. I think that's pretty bold, but I can kind of see where you're coming from. It's just a case of goals, isn't it, for them, and converting chances.
Yeah, I'm slightly nervous about what I was thinking when I put them fifth, because that is quite bold, as you say, but I think part of it is blind faith in Ernesto Valverde. His record is almost sort of unparalleled in terms of resources and what he's done with teams in La Liga. So I am backing them to have a better season. I think if they have a fully fit Oyan Sanset, that could be big. And in this match, I mean, you have one of the strongest home sides in the league going against Mallorca, who are one of the weakest sides away from home. Mallorca, again, I'm interested to see how Javier Aguirre approaches this, because it's all very well being conservative and solid. In inverted commas, they did lose like 6-2 to Granada at 1.2. But it's all very well being solid for those final 10 matches of the season when the going gets tough and you need to manage the pressure very well. But for a whole season, I think they might need to show a bit more ambition than they did under Aguirre last season. So yeah, I'm interested to see how he approaches this, what help he gives to Vedat Muriqi, who's back. It's a big thing for them, but yeah, it'll be a tough season for Mallorca, I think, and this isn't an easy start for them either.
Athletic have won the last six matches at San Mamés against Mallorca, so probably much of the same is on the cards there. Evening on Monday, it's a nice Madrid derby, Getafe against Atleti. This fixture was dominated by Atleti for so long. Getafe couldn't even score a goal. But then last season, we had two crackers, the 2-1 comeback and the 4-3, which was frankly bonkers. So how excited should we be by Heta, and how is Simeone going to line up? And I know you want to talk about João Felix, don't you?
Yeah, well, Getafe, fun recruitment, fun season of... Domingos Duarte is a good signing, Luis Mia is a good signing. Both of those good additions, I think. And I think we do have to remember that this is a Kike Sanchez Flores team. They're not going to be necessarily flashy, but they will be effective, I think. And Borja Mayoral and Enes Unal seem to be a partnership that Sanchez Flores is banking on. So, yeah, I think they could be fun, but I'm far more excited about Atleti, to be honest. This trio that's been playing in pre-season of Alvaro Morata, Antoine Griezmann and João Félix, it's a pretty fun attacking lineup, and if you'd said that to anyone 3 years ago, people would have been biting your hand off for it at some of the best clubs in Europe. So yeah, I'm interested to see how they work together, how Simeone manages to cover the gaps that they will inevitably leave. And yeah, I think this Atleti attack has the potential to maybe make that jump from what we've been wanting to see from Atleti, where they can dominate teams with their attacking power. And they haven't been able to in recent seasons, apart from that season when they won the league.
Yeah, lots have been spoken about the potential centre-back worries and concerns about not having enough depth if you want to play three at the back. But I suppose the anti-Simeone idea of being defensive is that, well, we'll just score more goals than before. And to that end, it does look like an exciting attack.
To be fair, though, people will come back at us with, well, Simeone has banked on more attacking lineups in recent seasons and then always shifted back to a slightly more gritty defensive style of play. Whether he can hold that out for a full season, whether it functions for a full season, well, that obviously remains to be seen, but it should be a fun ride on the way.
Stick for that one on Sunday night, without a doubt. Monday night, I should say. Monday night. and finally, to wrap up the weekend, the opening weekend, Betis against Elche. Alex Moreno, he's staying. He turned down a move to the Premier League. I think everyone in La Liga was delighted to see him do that against the kind of prevailing winds of change. Pellegrini begins his third season in charge at Betis. He's done fantastically well in the first two, winning the Copa last time out. This time, though, there's even more optimism and even more expectation than ever before. Is that going to be to their detriment, though?
I don't know if it's going to be to their detriment, but we are asking a manager to overachieve essentially for a third season in a row without a significant amount of investment. I think the Luis Enrique and the Luis Felipe are good signings, but I mean, they're not game changers. Maybe Felipe will be. I think he is a more solid centre back than the likes of Victor Ruiz or Mark Bartra, but I think I'm a sort of hair less optimistic about it, as much as I love Manuel Pellegrini and I really hope he succeeds. I'm slightly less optimistic than a lot of people are about them. Elche, on the other hand, I think there's could be an interesting game for them because we're not quite sure what Francisco is planning this season. I mean, Lucas Boyer was meant to leave, I think. I think most people banked on him going. So was Juan Mayica. But they're still there. And so how he sets up the season, they've recruited Ezequiel Ponce on a permanent deal, whether he goes with two up front or sticks with Boyer as kind of a lone striker, and Peremilla or Dede Morende in behind him kind of thing, that will be an interesting dynamic to watch as the season goes on.
Yeah. What do you think for this fixture then? Do you think Betisol will get the job done at home in the first week?
It's hard to back against them. I mean, Elche, they were a good counter-attacking side last season, but when they needed something in the last, sort of towards the end of it last season, Betis still had too much for them. And I think fully fit, fully rested, Nabil Fekir, Sergio Canales, I mean, I wouldn't bet against them normally, but less for Elche.
Mm. Well, what better to watch on a Monday night than the culmination of the first week of La Liga? Right, then just to finish off then, Rory, apart from Barca, obviously, because you're biased, so what would you say is the game you're most looking forward to of those?
I have to say it's Girona-Valencia. I think that's the one that there's almost the most uncertainty about Valencia, and in terms of a side that's going to show ambition coming up. Almeria, I think, will go forward. Valladolid, I think, will be a little more conservative. But Girona, Michel, if there's one thing you can bank on him to do, it's to play football. So I think that's probably my tie of the weekend if you're looking for a lower key affair in Barcelona or Real Madrid.
And on that optimistic note, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much, Rory. We'll be back on Tuesday morning with the match day recap, of course, because there's three games on Monday. We're going to have it a day later. So Tuesday morning for that one. Rory, you'll be joined by Tom and Sam for that one. So look out for that one, listener. Enjoy the first weekend of La Liga. Stick with us at La Liga Lowdown for your full comprehensive coverage of the weekend. And thank you for listening to this. Thank you, Rory, for your time. Enjoy, guys. It's already here and we love it.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.